all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
What's up? Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. This is Jimmy Clark. This is Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. Current weather is 81 degrees. I think we're streaming. I'm trying to get all these buttons down today. Anyway, hang on here with me a second. Oh, there we go. 81 degrees. Feels like 84. The wind is out of the south at 17 miles an hour, south-southwest, and it's 23-mile-an-hour gust, and dew point is 68, humidity is 65, so somebody's out there baling hay right now. I can feel it. But before we get started into any of the things with the show, I want you guys to that have vegetable stands or farmers markets to text in to the KECO Ag Text line at 580-225-9697. I need your place, time, and town. And if you'll text that in towards the end of the show, I'll announce all those vegetable stands where they're going to be. Actually, I had a couple already text in before the show started, so everybody's listening, I hope. So anyway, so the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, OCA we call it, will be having their 69th annual convention and trade show July 23rd and 24th at the Embassy Suites Hotel and Convention Center in Norman, Oklahoma. So if you guys are going to that, you probably better get your tickets. It's coming up here in a little over a week. FSA, only thing I got coming from them is your summer crop reporting is due today. So you better get that in to any of your FSA offices in your county. The Farm System Reform Act was introduced in Washington yesterday by a U.S. Senator from New Jersey and a U.S. Representative from California. This is a renewed effort to end what they are called factory farming. Large multinational meat packers, because of their buying power, are putting our food system at risk, they said, and harming everyone along the way, the supply chain. Livestock groups are pushing back. They are saying factory farms are more fiction than a fact. 96% of the farms are family-owned, according to the USDA. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association said the announcement last week by the USDA and the Ag Secretary offering $500 million to help expand small and medium-sized processing plants is offering practical long-term progress for producers. FYI, 95% of all the cattle raised in the USA are visitors of feedlot. Poor packers, it seems like everybody's picking on them ever since. It seems like the media and other people can't find anything else to do since our previous president left office and got banned from Twitter. So they are picking on the packers. So anyway, I'm just joking. I'm not being political here at all. So today on the show, I have Cassandra. I'm going to hope I get this right. Osher?
Yes, you got it.
Oh, I got it right. Because I wanted to say Usher, but it's Osher. And from the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District over in Sayre. So I'll be right back and ask her about what's happening in her district, which is a big one. She's got a big district out here. So anyway, it's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, July 12th. 1,221 head were sold. 11 head of steers at 387 brought 188. 7 at 496 brought 179.50. 5 at 597 brought 160. 27 at 785 brought 151. 46 at 918 brought 147.75. 5 head of heifers at 518 brought 157.50. 3 at 588 brought 138. 3 at 668 brought 142. 26 at 733 brought 144. 15 at 861 brought 134. 450. Butcher cows were 20 to 83.25. Bred cows 675 to 1385. Butcher bulls 88 to 109.50. Pairs brought 800 to 1475. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, I-40, exit 71 in Clinton, Oklahoma. Next sale is Monday, July 19th at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
As you know, Barber Dyson Ford was recently awarded our 5th President's Award. This award is largely because our service team, including our 3 master mechanics, and the timing is just right as summer just keeps getting hotter. Come visit our service department today and keep your car's AC and engine running great. We love what we do, and that's why we're the number one auto dealer in Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Don't get stuck out in the heat. Experience the Barber Dyson difference today. BarberDysonFord.net.
JC Cowboys is open every weekend with live music all summer long. Come in and register to win our JC's You Later Beach giveaway. Airline tickets for 2, 4 days and 3 nights in a condo at Orange Beach, and $500 in spending cash. Drawing during the Dean Jackson performance, August 7th. See official rules and sign up to receive email updates and promotions at jccowboys.net.
The good times are here waiting for you at JC Cowboys. Come on.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, I'm back. First, I got to do something on Facebook. And the reason why I need to do that is Mrs. Jimmy Taylor, a.k.a. Tracy Brown Taylor, she thought she'd be pretty cute on Facebook today. Let me see. I'll see if you guys can see that. Anyway, there. She posted on social media today and tagged me, Monty Tucker, and a couple other farmers and ranchers that got cattle. And this guy had just got to heaven. And he said, "You were so close to getting in." I'm saying this is probably St. Peter. Isn't he the one that meets you at the pearly gates? "You were so close to getting in until your behavior with working cows." So anyway, back at you, Tracy. Anyway, so today I have Cassandra Usher. I got it. Usher? I got it. Anyway, I knew I messed that up. From the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And tell us a little bit about you, where your office, where you're from, your history.
Well, I'll start with where I'm from. I'm actually from Central Illinois. That's where I grew up. Okay. And I went to school down in Southern Illinois and then went to University of Illinois to get my master's doing stuff with ag and conservation for wildlife.
Awesome. Are you a biologist?
Yeah, sort of. I don't know what to title myself. I've done so many different things. I don't really fit one title.
Right.
Conservationist.
But you are sort of a biologist.
Yeah.
You understand. Yeah. You at least understand what's going on.
Yes, the wildlife community.
With college.
Yeah. Well, gosh, yes. Forever. So I grew up in Central Illinois, surrounded by corn and soybeans. So cotton and peanuts, you know, I don't really know a whole lot about. I know corn and soy, so I'm learning about cotton production and peanuts.
It's a whole different ballgame.
Oh, it is. It definitely isn't. Irrigation, like, we didn't do irrigation. We got enough rain. We didn't have to worry about that.
Not here.
No.
You figured that out?
Oh, yeah, pretty quickly.
Oh, cool.
And then I worked as a watershed specialist there for just a little bit. And then I met my husband, and we got married, and I moved here. He was already here, so got transplanted.
Who's your husband?
Aaron Usher.
Okay. You guys get that, because next time I'm not saying it.
Yeah, I won't have to make you repeat it. So I've been here in Oklahoma since the fall of 2018, and then I started the district in the fall of 2019. Took over for Nelda Tucker. You had her on here last week.
Yep.
A lot of people know Nelda. So at the district, our office is in Sayre. It's the building, the USDA service building. We've got FSA, Farm Loan, NRCS, and then the district, all in the same building.
Yep.
Yeah, it can be a little confusing to people when they come in.
But like, you're state, you're not federal.
Yeah, we're technically state. Everyone else is federal, but we're state.
Okay.
So what we do, we're in charge of Beckham County. Our name is North Fork of Red River, and that was because our district didn't used to be the county boundary lines.
It used to be the watershed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we used to have an office in Sentinel, but then when they changed the boundaries, I think that was 1998, they closed that office, and it was just the one in Sayre and just Beckham County.
Right.
So we are in charge of having partnerships with different agencies to help with water quality, soil health, wildlife encroachment problems, specifically feral hogs.
Deer.
Well, you know, they're not necessarily as big of a problem, but
they're getting there.
But we also maintain watershed dams, and that's something a lot of people, they've kind of been forgotten about. Like, most of them were built in the 1950s, right. And because there's a lot of flooding and people have forgotten about them, so I try to bring that up and talk about that and educate people.
Because I don't know if it's Roger Mills Line or if it's in Bacon County. The first one ever built is in kind of in this area, isn't it?
It's technically in Roger Mills.
Okay, yeah, because yes. I knew it was close. It's close.
Yes, it is very close. And the project for the whole watershed project started up in Roger Mills because of the flooding with the Ouachita River.
Right.
So it's a pretty big deal. There's a lot of watershed dams all across Oklahoma, not just here. So
they were building them about time I was born, and then I was growing up here in Elk, but there's some north of Elk.
Yes,
for Elk several. Creek. Yeah, for Elk Creek, because I don't know if anybody, there's some people out there remember, but on North Main Street, where Loopy's and those dentist office and the eyeglass doctors are and stuff, and that used to flood really bad. Because I lived right there and I got to watch it. And Elk Creek used to flood bad.
That's what I've been told. I've heard stories.
Yeah.
And that for that generation that was aware of that, these dams have a big significance.
But the next generation probably doesn't have a clue. They just look at it as a fishing pond.
Yeah. Recreation.
So do you guys have any projects going on with any of the older dams or anything?
Yes.
We do?
We actually have one. It's Upper Elk Creek 23D. And when it was built as a significant hazard dam because there is still some roads and buildings around there, but there's been a lot more development downstream. So when it got reevaluated in 2014, it got reclassified as a high hazard, meaning that if that dam fails, there would be loss of life.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Now, where's it at exactly, like from Elk?
Do you know, let's see.
And by the way, if you're just joining us, it's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO, and I got Cassandra Osher.
Yes, you got it. Good job.
From the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District out of Sarah in here with the date. And we're just talking about what's going on in her district because she's got a lot going on. And if you missed some of the first part of her conversation, she's helping oversee some of this stuff with these flood prevention pond dams that you guys see around here. That's got the historical markers around them. And I always leave my mark on one when I catch one over 10 pounds. So anyway, where's it at now?
It's on Northeastern Avenue, kind of like, you know, where Roma is, that the interstate goes by. Roma's, there's a gas station there, there's a couple hotels, but it's Northeastern Avenue, I guess it's called Thrill Hill.
Yeah.
So that's,
oh yeah,
that's the one that we're working on.
I lost
the
transmission there when I was in high school. And we used to Nikki Harrison, that has 66 sod farms out east of town. He took me over when I was riding on a hood and some snow too.
Oh jeez.
So, I know where Thrill Hill is. Well, so what are you guys doing to it?
They're actually raising the berm by 4 feet, and because they're raising that berm actually crosses the road.
Yeah.
So they have to regrade the road. They're raising the road 4 feet as well, and then regrading it. So I don't know what the pitch is going to be like afterwards.
Is it
like
be more of a thrill?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Who's in charge of that market?
I think it's CPI. There's a contractor. So we're the sponsor on the dam, but NRCS is the one that has the standards, and they built the specs that they have to build that dam to. So there's a different engineering firm that was involved. There's the contractor that's doing the work, CPI out of Oklahoma City, or UConn, I can't remember. But there's a lot of players involved. Like, I'm in charge mainly of landowner relationships, and if there's any issues that come up, contacting them and coordinating efforts. As far as the rehab, I don't have anything to do with it, really.
Well, you got to have landowners at ease out there before anything can really get done.
Yeah, and always trying to address issues as the best that we can. I mean, there's always issues that come up with rehab.
So
always.
So how do you guys do this with those the rehabs, you want to call it, on these flood prevention dams do? You do one at a time? You got any others kind of in the works? Or
we don't here in Beckham County. Okay. There's several across the state that I know that got reclassified to high hazard, and they have multiple projects throughout the state. But for us, this is the only one that we have going on right now.
That one that you're working on now, I got a lot of old memories.
Oh, there. I bet. That's what I've heard from a lot of people in town, that it used to be a kind of like a public like swimming hole or something.
It used to be a public swimming hole, and it used to be, it took out a lot of transmissions, and it took out, there was a lot of flats if you did get some height off the ground. So, it was good.
Responsible for a lot of damage.
So you're rehabbing them, so mm-hmm. on to the next program. What about your cost share program?
So our cost share program is a program we have every year, and we have a certain amount of money that we get from the state, and the district gets to decide what conservation practices that they want to fund. So there's like a list of 20, 25 practices, and the district tries to figure out what needs that the residents of Beckham County have, and then they tailor the program to those needs. So there's always a need for water wells. I think we've funded water wells every year.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I think Nelda was one of them that helped me with mine about 8 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Down in Greer County.
Oh, okay. Yep. Every county has a cost share program, and every county does it a little bit different.
Right.
So they give us parameters to work in, and the board makes those decisions locally. So we've got the water wells. We also do some stuff with cover crops. We did a soil health program 2 years ago and funded a lot of cover crop projects. And
what was that about?
So the funding for that one was only for soil health. We didn't do any water wells with that pot of funding. And we did putting cover crops in, no-till, residue management. And the focus was to focus on the health of the soil, trying to build that back up so you can have a better crop, and also you're less dependent on fertilizers, pesticides, and your equipment. Like, you shift your labor from having to have major equipment for tilling, and you shift that effort and money elsewhere.
Well, and it's a good thing, because I no-till. Everything I do is no-till, and you know, with the cost of fertilizer today, cost of fuel, cost of chemicals.
It adds up.
And no-till, I'm right along the North Fork of the Red River. And, you know, it's dirt that blew up back in the Dust Bowl days, actually, according to my landlord. But anyway, I don't know if it's a myth or not, but I'm pretty sure from looking at that sand that where my alfalfa is has not been tilled since 1994. And until the deer moved in last year, I was raising 3,000 pound an acre alfalfa in it.
Oh, wow.
And it hasn't been tilled, but it is blow sand deluxe. And so you got to be careful.
That's something that was kind of a shock when I moved here, is some of the fields, how sandy they are. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm walking on a beach.
You are.
It's so different.
It's actually when the ocean used to run through here and then it went down, you know, that's what it left. It's a beachfront property, we call it.
What is crazy, you can get a crop out of it.
Well, anyway, so I'll be right back to ask what else is happening in our district in just a minute. So you're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
We want to sell a product at Terry's Furniture that's a good value for the money. A good value doesn't have much to do with how much it costs when it's new. It has to do with how long that it lasts. A $400 recliner that lasts 5 years is not as good a value as a $600 chair that lasts 10 years. Because if you divide how many dollars you spent by how many years it lasted, that 10-year chair is going to be a better chair for the money. It's a better value, even though it might cost you a few dollars more at the start.
So for value, you're thinking long term.
Exactly. Value is how long something lasts. That's really what value is. If you buy a little tiny pickup to haul bales of hay and spend $40,000 on it, it's not going to last very long. But spend $70,000 on a truck that'll haul bales of hay, a big 3/4 ton diesel, you're going to get 15, 20 years out of it if you treat it correctly. Same thing with a recliner.
Terry's Furniture Showroom.
We're at 2001 South Main in Elk City, Oklahoma, right behind McDonald's.
Happy birthday to the Spotted Hound Saloon. It's going to be the biggest party of the summer. First, Friday, July 16th is the Wet and Wild Foam Party. Lots of door prizes to be given away and everyone's favorite signature drink, the Hair of the Dog, and Scooby Snack specials for everyone. Then Saturday, July 17th, take in live music starring Igor and the Red Elvises, featuring a dirty Red Elvis costume contest with Bad to the Bone prizes. Happy, happy birthday to the Spotted Hound Saloon, 1 mile north on Highway 54 in Weatherford.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Why would you wander around a warehouse store looking for paint when you could just swing by your neighborhood Ace? In addition to Ace's award-winning service, we have top-rated paint brands. Plus, our color matching technology allows us to match any color. So stop wandering and start painting. Head to your neighborhood Ace today.
Find everything you'll need for your next paint project at the locally owned Ace Home Center nearest you.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I actually am wound up today because I really want to pronounce her name right. So, welcome back. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. And I, in the red room today, I have Cassandra Osher. Is that right?
Yep, you got it.
That's two out of three. I'm good. And from the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District. And we were covering some things like watershed dams and all that other stuff. But we touched on the cost share program that she was talking about before we took a break, that about water wells and et cetera, et cetera. But she brought something in today that, what do you got there? Show it on the camera.
Is that showing all right? So this is a plant sensor from Phytech.
See if it's, I got the camera off. Check it. Do it again.
Got it? Okay.
Go that way.
To the right?
In front of your face. I think. More?
This way?
There we go.
Right there. Okay. So this is a plant sensor that goes on cotton.
Looks like a snake.
It looks kind of goofy. but this is it's from Phytech. That's the company name. And they've developed this technology on a bunch of other different type of crops. I think it was first on corn, but they developed it on cotton. And what this does, this plant sensor goes on the cotton stem when it's, maybe like
growing,
a foot high.
Yeah.
And what it does is that, I'll put it up again.
Yeah.
As that stem grows, this measures that growth and shrinkage. And that transmits data to an app. And throughout the day, if it shrinks more than it grows, it kind of shows that it's stressed for water.
Right.
And it'll be color coded: green, dark green, light green, orange, or yellow, orange, and then red. So it gives some feedback on the status of your plants. So the goal is to not overwater. So if you don't know how much, you just like let your pivot go, and you're trying to make the best judgment that you can, but by having this feedback, you're like, okay, my plants aren't stressed at all. They're in dark green.
Why water?
Why waste that money?
Right.
Running the gas or electric, whatever your pivot's on, and right. Then why waste the water? So
that's
it's to
interesting.
Help. Yeah.
I've heard about it, but I never got into any details with it, but that's cool.
Yeah, it is really neat. I mean, it seems fairly simple, but I'm sure it's pretty complex behind the scenes.
It's got to be complicated. So is that feed, does that send a deal to a satellite, or is there a unit out there on the pivot?
So there's several GPS units.
Hey, me, you get along great, because that's Jim Bonics.
Hey, I do that too. but there's several units out there that transmit the data. I think they've got like three or four of these sensors in two different locations in the field to kind of get a good representation of the field.
Yep.
And then there's a unit on the irrigation pivot that measures how much water's going out. So in the app, it will show you the amount of water that you've gotten from just rainfall and then also what your pivot's putting on.
Really?
Yeah. So there's a couple different components to it. And then the app, they've added a lot more features to it, so it gives you a lot of data to look at to get the status of your plants.
So how does anybody, how do you pick or choose, or people volunteer for this?
So last year we actually worked with one producer to try it out. It was new. No one had really tried them here in Oklahoma. There might have been some stuff up in the panhandle. I haven't heard feedback on that yet, though. And we worked with them just like, hey, like, this is newer technology out there. Would you be willing to try it? And we'll help pay for the cost of it just to see how it works, what you like, what you don't like. Is it pretty reliable? And if you find value in it. And they liked it. They're a little bit cautious on that first year, trying to get like, okay, is it truly reliable? Can we stop watering and trust that it's giving us the right information? And this year we actually got it approved for our cost share program. So we have 4 producers that we're working with this year.
Oh,
on
great.
That. So hopefully
did
next
it,
year.
So I guess it worked last year?
Yeah. Yeah, it works great.
Did he make like 5 bale an acre cotton?
I don't know. But that's something in the future we hope to continue, is working with producers and really talking about this. It's not just like a 1-year project. It's something that we want to continue working on, giving producers options, an opportunity to try something out and not have to pay for the full cost in case they don't like it.
Right.
Just to give them a little...
Well, that seemed like that'd be the thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because cotton producers, there's a fine line. You can overwater big time.
Oh, definitely.
Because we can get too much rain. Just like this last, the last couple of months,
mm-hmm.
you know, they just got planted. The weather was cool and we got lots of water. And cotton is kind of like okra. They're the same plant. They want heat. And they want heat.
Yeah.
They need sunlight. So that's interesting.
It is. And it's something we're actually going to talk about at our field day that we have coming up.
When is it?
So it is July 22nd. It's from 10 to 2. If anybody knows Jimmy Smith, I'm going to put your name out there, Jimmy. We're going to be...
Spencer going to be there?
I hope so. If not, he's got to now.
Well, he'll have the farm cleaned up for you.
We are going to meet out at one of Jimmy's fields, and he'll be talking
about... Out here
about,
north of town, I guess?
Yep, mm-hmm, just north of the high school. And we'll be talking about cover crops and the cost share program. That's one of the projects that we funded was cover crops. And
well, does anybody need a RSP?
Yes.
They do?
They do. So I can feed you.
Oh, cool.
Make sure I have enough food for
you. There you go, guys.
You.
Even if you're not a cotton farmer, call her.
Yep. And we'll talk about these plant sensors some more. I'll have some data to show. There will be a representative from Phytech to tell more about the product. And I'll have some producers there that have used them to ask questions and see what they have to say about it. And
so that's July 22nd from
July
what?
July 22nd. It's from 10 to 2.
When's food going to be there?
Noon.
That's my show.
Well, you could always just come out to the outdoor classroom and do it.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, that sounds interesting. So you guys remember that. July 22nd, right out here north of the high school on Mr. Smith's cotton field out there. Everybody knows where his cotton fields are. And Spencer's going to be there, too, greeting everybody with free candy. Because I know he likes candy, especially, I think, Baby Ruth's or Snickers. I can't remember what he... Nope, that's Brian Silk over Dale High. Anyway, enough of that. But from 10 to 2, you need to reserve a spot so she'll know how much food to get out there. And at the when her and I get through talking here, we're going to give out all of her information on when to do that. Let's talk hogs. Oh, by the way, if you're just joining us, it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. And I have Cassandra Osher in here. I'm saying that. But anyway, with the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District, and we've been talking about rebuilding of watershed dams, cost share on water wells. We just got through talking about some gizmos she's got over there to put on cotton stalks that measures the growth and the stress and all that. And I won't explain that right because I'm not a very technical person, but I like it. But it does look like a snake catcher.
Yeah, it's goofy looking.
Yeah, but anyway, so that's what we're doing right now. And what about some swine?
Okay, so the feral swine project, that's something that the state office, the Oklahoma Conservation Commission, wrote a grant for to start a pilot project and address the feral hog problem in Oklahoma. They started in Kay County, and then they started also down, is it?
Probably Greer.
Cotton, Tillman, Jackson, and Harmon.
That's close.
Yeah, right, those 4 right along the border. So that was the first round of funding to do a pilot project, and then they added Beckham and Roger Mills for the second round of funding.
No Greer.
Not sure why.
So you want me to tell you what? A certain trapper that I know told me not very long ago, he said that there's more hogs in Greer County now than there is Roger Mills Beckham combined. And that was the exact words.
Oh, wow.
But they're catching.
Yeah. Well, I think with Beckham and Roger Mills, Texas was going to do something along the border to border Beckham and Roger Mills. So they're kind of doing it in concert. But some of that stuff.
So that you have the data. Yeah, mm-hmm. I gotcha.
Yeah. Trying to stop them along the river there. So we were fortunate enough to have that project come to Beckham County and Roger Mills, and we're going to have someone that will be able to go out and meet with producers and do damage assessments. So quantifying the amount of damage that the hogs have done to kind of get an idea of, like, how bad is the damage in our area and documenting where. And then they would be working in concert with APHIS to deploy traps and to get rid of the hogs.
Right.
So there's a lot of details to work out on the program. We haven't started it yet. But from my understanding, it sounds like the most hog problem in Beckham is kind of like the Eric, maybe Sayre area.
Along the river.
Yeah. So
I can tell you.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. So what we're trying to do right now, I just want to get people, like, if they have problems with hogs, I want them to call me and I can get their name and number. And then we're going to have an outreach event sometime in the fall. I'm sure I'll come back on and talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
We got a plan.
No, I want you in here because I'm going to get your name right by the end of the year. And so, but they, yeah, because swine, the feral hog problem is major. It's
not just Oklahoma.
No, it's not just Oklahoma. It's everywhere, but it's starting to affect us out here big time, and yeah. It has for a long time. A friend of mine that farms there in the Willow area, when he planted his peanuts, that you know a lot about, right?
Expert.
it grows just like corn. Just doesn't get as tall. But anyway, you know, he planted his peanuts, and within 2 days they come through there with their snout in the ground and just completely wiped out 5 to 6 rows, half a mile long. I can't remember how long it was. It was a lot. He had to go in there and replant it, and that costs money.
Yeah,
and they done damage. I mean, all they do is put their snout in that ground and they just go forward, and it looks like a perfect fire. You did it with a tractor. I mean, it's no joke. And one of these days I'll get you a picture of one, because it is crazy.
Yeah, if people want to share pictures, that would be great.
So here in a little bit, when we get done, you guys listen to most of you that are listening in Beckham and Roger Mills County probably already know who I'm talking with, but still we'll get out her information. But hey, I seen the help wanted sign on your door.
Yes.
What
so,
is that?
You guys
listen up here.
Yep. If anyone's looking for a full-time job, we are hiring. Their responsibilities will be half watershed dam maintenance. So what we talked earlier,
right?
Maintaining those dams and make sure they're in the best condition that they can possibly be in. And then the other half is the feral swine control technician part, where they'll be going out, meeting with landowners, talking to them, doing the damage assessments, working with APHIS to deploy the traps. They won't actually get to do the dispatching of the hogs. I've had multiple questions on that.
I'm not applying. I'm out.
But it is full-time. It's got benefits. It's a good job.
Could I work part-time there and part-time here?
Sorry, no.
Okay, sorry. Well, anyway, so you're no fun today. So
hey, I'm offering a job. Like,
yeah. So if anybody's listening out there, that sounds like a pretty good job.
Yep, they can call me at the office, and I can give them a full job description, and just need a full resume, cover letter, and I can answer whatever questions that they have about it. Yeah, just give me a call at the office.
What about the outdoor classroom?
So the outdoor classroom, that is a property. It's actually on a watershed dam, and we have a building out there for education activities. And we used to host the outdoor classroom every year, and then for a couple of years it's been down, and my goal is to get that up and running this year, and have the area schools bring out, I think it's the fifth or third graders out, and have different stations, education stations. And,
like what?
Like there's one, the National or the Ouachita Battlefield.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have them out. They can do their display. Have one about fur bearers, have one about fishing, have one about the different cuts of cattle, like just anything and everything pretty much can be under there. So I'm looking for people that I'll have out, like Ag in the Classroom. I want to have them out.
Oh, they're
stuff
awesome.
Stuff about birding.
That lady was awesome on here. Yes. On our first show, she was something. She loves her job.
Hey,
you do too.
Oh, I do.
Tell.
I absolutely love it.
Well, they So do you also, what else do you guys do at the office? You do grass drills, no-till drills?
Yes. We've had...
Gopher machines?
Yes, the gopher machine. Yep. We've got grass drills.
In Illinois?
Yes, I suppose so, but I've never heard of a gopher machine until I came out here. Well,
they try some of this sand out here.
Oh, jeez.
So, anyway, go ahead, sorry.
But yeah, we have grass drills and we have two no-till drills that we rent out to producers that they can use. We also sell seed and then...
Grass seed, yep.
Primarily, most grass seed sales are in the springtime. This year was pretty good. Like, there's a lot of activity. Last year was completely... people just didn't know what was going on, and it was dry. Like, there's so much uncertainty that I think people put it off.
So, and they contact you too also on that, right?
Yep, you can contact me, and I'll put them in touch with the guy that does drills. That's Zach Harless. I'll put his name out there too. Thank you. You're welcome, Zach.
Well, you're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO and Cassandra Usher. And see, I got to speak German to get that out right. Anyway, and I don't have any German in me, but anyway, I can imitate it. Kind of like I could do a redneck, and I don't even have to try hard at that. But anyway, we got a few more little things to cover. And what about where can more people find information about your district?
So I actually started a Facebook page a while back. It's the North Fork Red River Conservation.
And I found that.
Yeah.
And
I can't do the full name. It's too long.
But I found that. Well, I was searching for something.
Good.
I was searching North Fork because I'm fascinated by the river and how it runs and what it does for Lugard and what it does for cotton farming and irrigation, because irrigation's become a big thing in Western Oklahoma, because we don't know when there's going to be a drought. We don't know when there's going to be rain. And this year we're blessed, and we probably saved a lot of electricity and water, but it's back now. We're watering now. So, but I'm fascinated. I come across that page and I liked it.
Good. Yeah. I try to share articles there, make announcements, anything, or share other pages, information that is pertinent to what we do. And I also have one for the outdoor classroom. Outdoor Classroom Elk City. So I'm trying to build that one up, and once we do have outdoor classroom events, I'll post pictures of the events up there and just education stuff, like with wildlife and
because we got something coming up together with our Quail Forever chapter.
Yes,
with you guys, because I called you to see about coming on the show, and it led to another thing, and here we are.
Great. Working with partnerships.
Yeah, working partnerships, because conservation and habitat's one of our big things.
Yep.
And kids. Always kids.
Oh, of course.
And then they can get a hold of you at the office. How?
You can call me at the office at 580-928-3113, and I'm at extension 3019.
3019. Mm-hmm. All right. And then thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yes, you're welcome. And thank you for having me.
And anybody, they got about 2 minutes. She might sit here for a little bit. If you got a question you want to text her, text into our KECO Ag hotline, I call it, at 580-225-9697. If you got a question for her. And again, a lot of good information.
Yes, we've and you got brought a lot some going memory- on right now.
Yeah, you do. And you brought some memories back on the Thrill Hill going on over there. Because I wasn't I was a preacher's son, but I wasn't the kindest guy or the bestest guy. But thanks again for being on.
Yes, you are welcome.
Well, we'll be right back after this.
Don't you love it when an insurance company tells you which doctor you can go to and which medical treatment you can get? Well, several people within the sound of my voice right now got a letter from their insurance company back at the beginning of the year telling them they could no longer use a particular pharmacy. They had to go to a big box store to try to save a couple of bucks here and there. So some of those people switched pharmacies and gave it a try. But within a few months, they decided they'd had enough and they came back. Turns out, trying to save a few bucks wasn't worth the price they had to pay in service. They didn't like being just another customer in line. A nameless sale. They miss being taken care of. They decided to go back to Grandview Pharmacy, where the folks behind the counter know them and care about them. When it comes to the medicine that keeps you feeling good, or could even save your life, it matters who's taking care of you. And taking care of you is just what they do at Grandview Pharmacy and Gifts. 1220 West 3rd in Elk City.
As a dentist, I know what my patients are saying during times when they really can't speak.
Mm-hmm.
She says her gums are irritated.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you can do? Absolutely. You can try New Crest Advanced Gum Restore.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, New Crest Advanced Gum Restore. It detoxifies below the gum line to restore your gums back to health in just 7 days.
Healthy mouth.
Exactly. Healthy gums, healthy mouth.
New Crest Advanced Gum Restore. Healthy, beautiful smiles for life.
We do a ton of wholesale work. I mean, like with your mechanic shops. But it's also the DIY guy that has Saturday afternoon off. He comes in Saturday morning, picks up his stuff, and works on his pickup. So it's a wide range of people. It can vary from the biggest shop in town to the smallest shop in town to your guy that works in his garage on the weekend. Napa Auto Parts, 716 West 3rd, Elk City, Oklahoma. Napa know-how.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I wish I could talk like that guy. Hey, it's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. That sound like him? Text me in your opinion. So anyway, there was a lot of great information that Cassandra just put out from the Oklahoma, or from the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District, which is Oklahoma. And anyway, so the weather forecast looks like we got a 20% chance of rain today, 91 for a high, winds out of the south, 16 to 18 with gusts over 20. Tonight, 40% chance of rain, 71 for a low. Tomorrow, sunny and 94. Saturday, 94, slight chance of rain. Sunday, 30% chance of rain. Sunday night, 50% chance of rain. And then 87 degrees with a 50% chance of rain Monday morning. And I'm just letting you guys know, I do have alfalfa down right now, and hopefully I can get it up before then. And I noticed some of my neighbors over there on the west side of the river, south of Sarah, they got all theirs put up. Hopefully it's all hauled. And that was good because everything we've been doing this year has got rained on. And we're not complaining, but it's time to let us get some hay up dry, and then you can go back to rain and save us on some electricity on irrigation. But so the new Penny News come out today, and it's got a lot of good stuff in it. And on every page, there's something with agriculture on it, and I'll briefly go through it. Front page, JD Tractor Repair, south of Canute. JD stands, I guess, for John Deere, but anyway, we'll go there. The next page, we got stuff from buildings, horses, JC Trailer Sales. Next page, we've got grain bins. Rother Brothers got a big old ad in there selling stuff. Then the next page, Everett's Welding, more metal buildings. Then we got Tradio. They're sure something for ag on there. But the next two pages is Today in Ag. That's the two-page deal where Jerry Nine's got his deal in there with his jokes and comments about any of the what's going on with producers and packers. For sale, Corbin Cattle Company, they got their raised beef there that's raised on the ranch. Got all your livestock reports from Woodward to Hobart to the Elk City Livestock Auction to Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. And then we got some other stuff in there from Calvin's Feed and Ranch Supply over at Eric. They're selling tubs. They got everything over there. Same thing with the co-op here in Elk City. Quentin's got all kinds of stuff going on there. So there's ag in that whole Penny News, but there's two pages in there. One of them's got my picture, got my mug on it, and it's not a wanted picture either, no matter what you guys say. I don't care what you say. But anyway, so I'm going to start a little deal today, and I'm going to briefly read it. Earlier we was talking with Cassandra about swine problem, and it is a problem, but in the irrigated areas, especially, deer is a major problem. And there's been a little controversy over the last couple of years on who's responsible for what and everything. So I'm not going to get into that, but I thought it was pretty interesting, and I'm going to briefly read this. It said, before Europeans came to America, there was an estimated 30 million wild deer in what is now just the eastern United States. By 1900, that figure had fallen to 99% due to unrestricted hunting, and conservations made it their mission to protect the deer from extinction. They might have succeeded a little bit too well. Today, the wild deer population has rebounded to pre-colonization levels, becoming a nuisance to suburban homeowners who find deer invading their yards and gardens. Well, I'm going to touch a little bit that on the farming part, because, you know, back in the 60s and 70s and even the 80s, does, you didn't ever think about shooting does around here when you was hunting. They were off limits because we wanted deer. Well, then things begin to change, and farming practices changed a little bit. Ranching changed a little bit. People started forcing with building and stuff in towns, and Oklahoma City, Amarillo, and all that started forcing more deer out into areas, and now they've become a problem for the farmers and ranchers. They will wipe out an alfalfa crop and a peanut crop so fast it's not even funny. And I have a very good example, and it's me. This is my last year of this certain alfalfa field. And when I first put it in, all the way up till last year, until I got invaded by the deer, we were making 250,000 to 300,000 pounds a year of hay off that little bitty patch of irrigated alfalfa. Last year, it was cut completely in half. And we just, my landlord and I thought we had some bugs going on. We knew we had deer out there. One night, I got a picture from our local game ranger, and he said, "Your hay is going to suck." and I mean, that's kind of the way he put it. And he showed me the picture. You couldn't count the deer out there. And so, but tomorrow I'm going to touch a little bit more on the deer subject, because this guy from the New York Times wrote this article up, because everything was from Eastern United States and from everything was in kilometers, not square miles. So I got to change the wording up a little bit. But he comes up with a good solution. And so I'll read it tomorrow. But there's some more to do. Tomorrow I have Mr. Dan Cook on, who is the OSU Extension Officer from Roger Mills County. He'll be on here tomorrow. And I also got the Jimmy Tip of the Day, or Jimmy Tip of the Week. I changed it up a little bit because I was actually involved in this tip. So yesterday, I was going to have some people in the studio. I thought, well, I'm just going to wear my shorts and a polo shirt and some flip-flops. But I had to stop, check my heifers out here west of Elk City. And I got out to go check the mineral deals, and I got flip-flops on. And guess what I stepped in? Yeah, so anyway, so don't go check your mineral feeder and feed tubs with flip-flops on unless you want to fertilize your garden. So anyway, so that was my Jimmy Tip of the Week. Don't go check your cattle with flip-flops on and get out and check stuff. It just don't work out very good. But I'll have Dan Cook on tomorrow, and I hope you guys are enjoying the show. And also, one more thing before I let you go. So we have our text line has been lighting up on the vegetable stands. So people are starting to listen and getting the word out about the show. So tomorrow, Clinton, let me get back to that. Saturday at Clinton, the farmer's market every Saturday at Acme Brick Park, 600 South 28th Street, Clinton, Oklahoma, 8 a.m. till noon are sold out. Locally grown produce, homemade baked products. I actually know a lady that bakes bread and is taking it over there. And canned jellies and relishes. So that sounds pretty good. Also, farmer's market at Hobart, 8 to 12 on Wednesday, 8 to 12 on Saturday. Growers from Hollis and Lawton and Hobart and Sentinel there. And it's in the town square there in Hobart. Weatherford, Saturday on Kansas Avenue, from 8 to 12, and it's by the old fire station. Thank you guys for texting in and giving me that information on your vegetable stand. And there's always somebody out here west of Elk on old 6 Highway by Hutch's west side. So there's always somebody out there. So anyway, lots of vegetables going on. And I appreciate you guys listening. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Have a great day. And God bless.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hi, I'm Randy Renner on First Oklahoma Ag. Well, rural broadband and year-round E15 bills are moving this week on Capitol Hill. The bipartisan Year-Round Fuel Choice Act and a similar Senate bill would permanently extend